Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? And get your vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Number one today, Californians. Do you know any Californians, Brian?
I do.
What have you been talking to them about lately?
You know, it's interestingly, they've asked me for advice on what to do for the voting tomorrow. And I said, vote no, and then don't write any other name in.
Exactly.
A lot of people are confused about the not writing another name in, but like, it, I don't know.
Yeah, I almost think, so we're obviously talking about the California recall today. This recording is Monday, September 13th. Somehow it is mid-September, Christ almighty, which means tomorrow is 9/14, which means it is the deadline to postmark your ballot and vote in the California recall. You still have time. You can vote tomorrow. I believe in some cases you can same day register, but I feel like our listeners were registered. If you voted in 2020, pretty sure you should be locked and loaded. You should have actually gotten your ballot if you live in California. So literally pause this right now. Go vote no on question one and fill it in. So what you were talking about is how like the Democratic Party and Gavin Newsom has wanted to avoid any confusion about question two, because there are two questions and they're saying vote no on question one and leave question two blank. And that was originally to avoid any confusion because they just didn't want people to like vote like yes and then select a person. And I am starting to worry if that method has caused more confusion than just letting people make a second choice.
The whole thing is convoluted and confusing to begin with. So
such an unforced error.
It's been like made to be confusing. I don't know. But I don't know. Hopefully he isn't recalled.
Yeah.
And we continue to have a Democratic governor in California.
Oh my God.
Because it's a small like country. It's like a small country. When you like think about it GDP wise and population wise.
I mean, because you know what's going on with the second biggest state in this here nation? Not doing well. Not well, bitch. You can't mm-hmm. vote or get an abortion mm-hmm. in Texas. So I mean you can do some of those very, very narrow parameters, but vote no on question one. Things are looking good, but of all the things that you can stress yourself about and give yourself a stomach ulcer today, maybe just like let's manifest some good energy. I'm not sure if we'll know tomorrow what the outcome is, but things are looking good. Just make sure you tell everybody you know to vote no on question one. You can postmark that baby by tomorrow and it will count. So this weekend marked the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. We've anticipated this in our discussions about Afghanistan. There were remembrance ceremonies across the country and across the entire world. A number of former presidents were in New York commemorating the nearly 3,000 lives lost. I biked down there on Saturday morning and it was pretty like blocked off that's obviously all the way downtown, but it was pretty blocked off up to like the West Village. And I didn't know what they had planned. So I like biked down there and they're like, no, ma'am, you can't come in here. And I was like, I wasn't going to be mean to the cop that day, but I was like, what the fuck? Like, let me in, come on. And then I go home and turn on my TV and I'm like, oh, most of the presidents we've had were there. Yeah. So that I guess that's why they didn't let little me in with my bike.
Yeah. Most living presidents were there. Donald Trump was like, I think, wasn't he like hosting like a wrestling match or something? Or giving commentary?
He provided commentary for a boxing match. And he visited a police precinct where I believe he disparaged like Democrats and just did nothing for unity. But I don't know if he was invited to that ceremony or not, but he did not attend.
I wonder who's in charge of inviting people to things like that. Like who?
Same, Ryan. I wonder too, because I wasn't let in. No, obviously very, very somber. Although I couldn't help but wonder to myself, I really did wonder like, really Obama's going to go to dinner. I didn't think about that, but they probably just like, do you think they just had the most like picked a spot and then there's just secret like service helicopters, just like six of them overhead?
Probably. I mean, they, I don't, there's no way to know. We, I don't know if we'll ever know where they went.
they went to Carbone.
Yeah. Tao.
Yeah, right. Definitely. STK. But obviously on a more somber note, I mean, what an intense day. This day is always more intense. I feel like we were, I think about this a lot, where like, how old were you, Brian? You were 11 or 12?
Yeah, I was, I remember more by grade. I was in fourth grade, so I don't know how old, how old you were in fourth grade. Yeah.
Wow, that's very young. I was in seventh grade. But I feel like that both puts us in the range where like, we're in this weird range where you saw, we saw what happened. And I know for me, at least, it's like you were old enough to sort of somewhat register what had happened to the and but not young enough where as you grew up, then adults realized they had to explain it to you. So it's like nobody ever explained what happened to me, even though I did not have a very good concept of what had happened. So every year it's so strange to reckon with what we saw.
Well, so I live in New Jersey. My dad worked in Jersey City. And I used to go into work with him all the time. And so that would be like the first thing you saw would be the Twin Towers. And I, because I was in fourth grade, they didn't really like, they weren't like showing us the things on television, you know, like I happened to be in the library and saw that crazy shit was happening on the TV and all the teachers were like freaked out. And then they saw me watching them and they're like, stop watching.
Yeah, that happened to us too. That was so weird.
And then I, when I got home, I was like, oh, I guess a plane hit the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers. And my brother was like, they're gone. They're not there. And I was like, what? Like no concept of it. And we could even smell the burning from our place for like a couple of days after. It was crazy.
Yeah. I don't think I ever really understood like yesterday reading about how there was basically like a Dunkirk style effort bigger than Dunkirk where people, just civilian boats and FDNY boats rescued 500,000 people from Lower Manhattan. I had no idea. I did not like clock that. Story. That is, it's just like now that we're adults and adults that live in a major city, it's so hard to comprehend that that actually happened.
Yeah.
So former President Bush and Vice President Kamala Harris, they were in Pennsylvania to honor the 40 on Flight 93. In his speech, George W. Bush made a connection between the 9/11 hijackers and the zeal of domestic terrorists that day. Let's listen.
As a nation, our adjustments have been profound. Many Americans struggled to understand why an enemy would hate us with such zeal. The security measures incorporated into our lives are both sources of comfort and reminders of our vulnerability. And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within. There is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But in their disdain for pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit, and it is our continuing duty to confront them.
I was listening to this live, and I was sort of like, oh, look at that. What did you think?
I thought it was, I mean, I liked the connection that he made because it's true. It's terrorism is terrorism. And it's about being hateful for, you know, and I was listening to something that they were talking about on NPR today where the people on Flight 93 were like banded together to save Washington, D.C. and like maybe the Capitol. And then so the idea of these domestic terrorists on January 6th attacking that building and killing police officers is really upsetting to those the families of those victims. They said it's really, you know, disrespectful. Also, just I think it's good because, you know, it ties it to being even less partisan, you know, by George Bush saying this, you know, I mean, like still fuck him, obviously, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they can't say it's a partisan thing because the former Republican president said it was a terrorist attack.
Right. And it was like, there are so many sort of eerie parallels. Cause it's like the Capitol attack was also the second greatest attack on our soil I believe, mm-hmm. since 9/11, I guess, other than the Oklahoma bombing, I guess, is considered a terrorist attack. And I also found it very striking that the people on Flight 93, when deciding like what to do, like they took a vote and they like respected the outcome of that vote. And, you know, whenever this anniversary comes, I'm sure we project whatever, you know, cultural or political conversations we're having onto it in ways that may or may not be appropriate. But I agree, that was like a really powerful, I don't think many like MAGA people are like love George Bush, but that's like true. He did start the war that created a lot of their version of patriotism. Like, don't you think there's like a connection between like, I mean, we know there were a lot of veterans there on 1/6, sadly.
Yeah, that is an interesting point to think about. I don't know. There's just been so much that's happened since then. It's a little. Amanda has two dogs.
I was just gonna ask if you saw I have a bonus dog.
I was like, wait, where that's. I was like, did Morty like split into two?
We're babysitting today.
Osmosis.
That's Ellie.
And I hope I use the right term for that. Osmosis,
but whatever. I was like, did you say something insensitive about the dog?
No. We'll see if that was correct or not.
Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. And like I told you guys before, I got my wedding bands on Etsy. I was able to meet with a creative, independent artist. They took my vision into reality, and now my wife and I have custom wedding bands that we absolutely love. A gifting moment is always just around the corner, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you. Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now. I'm sure you've swiped past lots of custom beauty brands over the years. Customize this and personalize that, all promising to fix my hair and skin insecurities. It's easy to be skeptical, but when Pros says custom, they actually mean it. Your formula literally could not exist without you. Since I started using Pros, I've noticed consistently healthy hair, even with all I put it through with heat tools and hairsprays to get this pompadour sky high. It smells great, looks fancy on the shelf, and it has my name right on it. Each and every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique brand of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. Pros covers everything from your concerns to diet, exercise, and stress levels to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin health. Next, they'll recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were only produced after I placed my order. Nothing is pre-mixed. Nothing is off the shelf. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, Pros proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering our listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. They're giving you 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/feverdream. That's PROSE.com/feverdream for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. pros.com/feverdream.
So as you mentioned, Brian, Donald Trump honored the occasion by providing commentary for a heavyweight boxing match. Rudy Giuliani, who was the mayor at that time, he disparaged generals in a absolutely bad shit speech.
Can you imagine that, Tony Blinken or Miley? How's that guy a general? Jesus. The other day, he said that the Bagram Air Force Base is not strategically important. I wanted to grab his, what do you have, 5 stars, 10 stars, 12 stars? He has so many stars that come into his ears. I wanted to grab his stars, shove it down his throat, and say, it's 400 miles from China, asshole! China is going to be our enemy for the next 40 years. You have an air base 400 miles from them, and you're giving it up, idiot!
Right.
What the hell is wrong with you? Who paid you? Christ!
Louise.
Seems drunk.
Yeah. Just like take the microphone away from him, please. It's embarrassing. He's also like, isn't he in like very bad legal trouble?
Yeah, he's probably shouldn't be saying anything to anybody. Did you see that clip of him trimming like his nose hairs or something?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm still like disturbed by the Borat situation.
There's so
in
much.
Him that like I just like I'm like, why don't we just like stick to that? Just refer to him as like the guy Borat, the Borat guy, you know.
completely. So this Monday morning, we will sip on some of our favorite kind of tea, my favorite kind of tea personally, which is Melania Trump tea. We're going to wait to discuss the activist until Elise is back tomorrow. I just think we need a full court press on that. That is, if you have not heard the show that pits causes against each other, literally sounded like a Black Mirror episode. Brian like is like, you look ready to discuss. I can't wait to talk about this tomorrow. Well, there's
I have something fun to say about it that like, me being like personally that like this show touched me personally in a way. I don't know if I'll touch on it now, but I'll touch on it. I'll be a tease for tomorrow.
Okay. Oh my gosh. So exciting. I cannot wait. Excellent. So in the meantime, we will talk about Melania Trump. So former White House press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, she was it for a hot minute, but you wouldn't really know because she didn't hold any press briefings. She also worked for the First Lady's office, I believe for a time, like it was such a the press secretary job was such a joke. They just like hired her to do that in addition to helping with Melania's office. So she's coming out with a new book titled "I'll Take Your Questions Now: What I Saw in the Trump White House." God. So obnoxious. Like as if she was like silenced the whole time.
Well, like also you're writing a book, like you're not answering questions.
Right.
So it doesn't even fucking make sense.
Yeah, it's not a Q&A. So Politico has a preview of this upcoming tell-all, which none of you should buy. That's why I do feel like this is worth talking about on the podcast, because that way you don't have to buy the books. Nobody should give this woman a dime. But part of this preview focuses on the events during the January 6th attack. Grisham claims that right as rioters breached the Capitol gate, she texted Melania, quote, "Do you want to tweet that peaceful protests are the right of every American, but there is no place for lawlessness and violence?" Okay. That sounds very specific. That sounds like a thing you like a tweet you would come up with in retrospect. I am very curious to see if there is actual pictures of this text in the book or if she just put in the book the ideal thing she could have texted. What do you think?
I mean,
so
it
on the
seems
nose.
Like, you know, but here's the thing. I'm sure the editors or something would ask for something like at proof of that, would they not?
I think so. You're right. Yeah, probably. And
so maybe like, because I feel like a lot of politicians, Republicans even, were tweeting similar sentiments at this time, but like a lot of them were in the building. Right. So they're like, ah!
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And apparently 1 minute later, after asking her this, Melania replied with one word, no. So she was not going to tweet that. Grisham was one of the administration officials who resigned that day. Remember, there were sort of a number of them. She writes that Melania had also refused to set up the typical White House tea with the incoming first lady. Melania deferred to the West Wing, basically saying, like, until they acknowledge that Biden won the election, I'm not going to invite Jill Biden over for tea. So just another dent in the like, save Melania. She is complicit. She knows what is happening. She believes all the things that her husband does. So almost more batshit than Melania's behavior that day is how she's responding to Grisham's book. A statement provided by the office of Melania Trump said the book was Grisham's effort to, quote, redeem herself after a poor performance as press secretary, failed personal relationships, and unprofessional behavior in the White House. Ouch. So this apparently refers to a relationship Grisham reportedly had with Trump aide Max Miller, which also reportedly ended with him slapping her across the face. This just escalates step after step. Yeah.
Like, whoa.
I know. I'm like, I don't know where my sympathies go or if I have any.
I guess it's not. Isn't it too late for a Trump book? Like, I don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess not. But like, I don't care. I want to know, like, all the stuff around January 6th, obviously, and anything that, you know, could lead to criminal charges.
But I want it on the congressional record, not like
exactly.
in a book by HarperCollins.
That's true. That's very, very true. Like, I would just rather them be interviewed by Congress.
The other thing is,
I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing is that Melania, I've heard lately, like, she does not want to go back to the White House. She does not want him to run again. So I feel like by publishing these books that talk shit about Trump, they're just helping her out. Like, it's just the worse Trump looks, the less likely there is for a successful campaign. And then Melania gets exactly what she wanted from the beginning.
Don't you think if Trump was going to run in 2024, I feel like he would have announced it by now. Don't you think so? Like, I think he would already be
kind of
fundraising.
Yeah.
Just like clearing a path for himself.
I wonder if they want to see like how Trumpism works during the midterms, like how his backed candidates work, and then maybe pivot his approach based on that performance, since all he wants to do is be president. But I bet like once the new year starts, we're going to start hearing drips and drabs. But I also think you could be onto something, as in he's not going to run.
I also think like, and the other thing is like, he doesn't want to be president. He never wanted to be.
No, I think he's loving life now.
But he also just like, of course, but he's also like, I just don't want to be considered a loser. But if he's just going to keep the rigged election line forever and just never admit that he lost.
He's literally doing speaking engagements for like some like Christo fascists. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like he's on the path.
No.
But we have to talk about him because he could be. He's literally nipping at our heels at any moment, which is fun.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So now, in lighter news, it's time for our Buzz with a News segment brought to you by Dame. Putting the buzz in all the right places, making the world a happier place, one bulb at a time. So today's buzzworthy news headline is about the U.S. Open. After a final of all teenagers and all Asian women, 18-year-old Emma Raducanu defeated 19-year-old Leila Fernandez to win the U.S. Open. I wasn't following much this year, but this was clearly an electric outcome, which was so rewarding to watch. Raducanu was born in Canada to a Chinese mother and a Romanian father. And Fernandez, she's Canadian. Her dad, originally from Ecuador, and her mom is Filipino-Canadian. Raducanu made an incredible statement. She's British. The Queen congratulated her. So rewarding to see her win, because I believe she had kind of a difficult earlier season. And for her part, Fernandez thanked the city of New York for cheering her on, even during a weekend of mourning. Let's listen to that.
I know on this day, it was especially hard for New York and everyone around the United States. I just want to say that I hope I can be as strong and as resilient as New York has been the past 20 years.
So nice.
That was nice. She didn't have to do that.
No, she was, really I mean, sweet. As you can imagine, she was not thrilled to have lost, but she still managed that. And I just, of her win, I wasn't going to add this, but as I was searching for that clip, what came up was Emma Raducanu, Piers Morgan. So I was like, okay, I have to investigate this. What could he possibly have to say about her? It turned out to be a passive aggressive subtweet of probably Naomi and Simone Biles. He just tweeted, from Wimbledon choker to US Open champion in 3 months, never seen a more brilliant illustration of mental strength and resilience, facing up to loss and adversity and going in with no whining. Thank you, Pierce. Very necessary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess because she's represents Great Britain. True. So she's quote, bringing it home. I just love watching those videos of people like the underdogs winning. I just like, I watched the ending of it on like the internet yesterday. And I just like cried.
I feel like that is such a, like, that is my engagement with sports. I watched the ending on the internet. Even though and Brian and I have we have such an exciting sports interview tomorrow that we can't wait to bring you. It'll probably
I know.
Come out next week. I'm very, very nervous. I don't think I can drink coffee before it.
I know. I'm gonna have to do something to prepare. I didn't have any of my sock. I almost just gave away what sport it was.
You can say soccer. It's okay.
It's soccer. But I was like, I wish I had my like soccer paraphernalia.
Oh yeah, jersey. Okay. Definitely.
I told my dad about it because we're all big soccer family, and he was like, that's so cool, you should challenge her to a juggling off. And I was like, I don't think I should do that. Thanks.
If we were able to do it in the office, we could have done so many cool athletic oriented bit. And just before we close our Buzzworthy News segment, Britney Spears is engaged.
That's exciting.
Congrats, Britney.
Octavia Spencer commented on the post, make sure you get a prenup, which I think is sound advice.
Is she allowed to negotiate her own prenup? Maybe soon. It seems like there are.
Hopefully by then.
Yeah, hopefully by then, for sure. Yeah. That was our Buzzworthy News segment brought to you by Dame. To get that buzz, you can try Dame for yourself by visiting dameproducts.com/sup, where you can learn more and take a quiz to find out which vibe or product will be the perfect fit. Plus, all new customers will get 15% off their first order on dameproducts.com/sup. We will not have this code forever, so use it or lose it. That's dameproducts.com/sup. That is our show. We will be back tomorrow with Elise, who is back from her honeymoon and joining us. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.